faith that doesn't make a difference in your ordinary everyday life at home and on the job is no faith at all.
God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about some of the listeners who have found that trouble and sorrow can be a gateway to joy, that when you bend your neck to the yoke of Jesus, which I believe means a willingness to accept God's will, you find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, by comparison, of course, with all other yokes and burdens. Many of you, I'm sure, are tired and overburdened. And here's a story of a pretty sinewy faith, forged in the most horrendous of backgrounds, but out of the ashes comes a triumphant testimony. The writer of this letter grew up in a church-going family. Her father was a minister, a fundamentalist, but she said, "Unfortunately, the doctrines never became a heart issue with either of my parents." And if there's one thing that I do want to say to my listeners today, it's that a faith that doesn't make a difference in your ordinary everyday life at home and on the job is no faith at all. True faith becomes visible in the way we live, and your children will know the reality of your faith not by what you tell them, but by what you show them. When Amy Carmichael was a missionary in Japan, and again when she was a missionary in India, she had exactly the same question put to her by non-believers. "We have heard your preaching. Now can you show us the life of your Lord Jesus?" Back to this letter from the young woman whose parents professed much and lived very little of what they professed. In fact, she says, "I am the product of an affair that my mother had with another minister. My father, the one who raised me, hated me. I was beaten, locked in the attic for days on end, and my grandpa used to discipline me by throwing kerosene or gasoline on me and chasing me around the yard with a cigarette lighter. I knew he was trying to kill me. At six, I was gang raped and abducted by three young men. They kept me for a week and then returned me to the children's hospital. My father said that I lied. These men didn't hurt me. From the ages of 5 to 8 or 9, two of my brother-in-laws molested me, etc., etc." I hate to read this kind of thing because it's just so appalling. But these stories seem to be coming out very commonly. And in a later program, I am going to issue a warning about some dangers that I see in the exposure of all of this kind of thing. And, there are some dangers there. So I don't want you to think that I'm on the wavelength of certain people who are doing seminars on the wounded child and the inner child and using techniques which are used sometimes by New Age people. This lady goes on to say, "At 8, I was diagnosed as dyslexic. The doctor told my parents I was a hopeless case. But eventually I did learn to read." Then she goes on with some more horror stories of the awful things that happened to her. She said she had an abortion. It was in 1974 when nice, safe, legal abortions were available, but mine was performed with no anesthesia. At 15, my dad threw me out. I managed to finish high school, By this time, I knew that Christianity was a farce. But nice people went to church, so I went. From 15 to 22 years of age, I bounced from one thing to the next. I didn't have enough self-confidence to stick with anything. Bible college, state college, psychiatrists, cults, self-help groups. About the only thing I didn't try was drugs and prostitution. At 23, I got married and went straight from the frying pan into the fire. My husband still treats me with contempt. He beats me. He is more married to his mother than he is to me. And then she goes on telling about how he has spent money on mistresses. He asks forgiveness. She forgives him. She has three children. She homeschools. I didn't write all this to get pity, she says. For years, I felt sorry for myself, and sometimes I still do. I wrote to you because I thought you would be interested in what a work God has done in my life. I had to forgive a lot of people, and that was hard work. I had to change my perspective of God. I thought God was very finite, angry, out of control, unfaithful, hateful, undependable, unkind. One attribute at a time, I came to understand who God really is. The Father I always wanted, I found in God. Sometimes I look out my front window and see the two trees in our little yard, and then I think my Father made those trees. If he can do that, he can handle my problems. And I know God is faithful. He was faithful throughout my painful childhood. His faithfulness is the one thing I can count on. Men always fail me, but God is faithful. And God is not out of control. He is sovereign. He was sovereign throughout my childhood. He was sovereign when my husband hired a mistress. He is sovereign when my energy is overtaxed. He did not cause any bad thing, for God cannot sin, nor can he tempt us, but he still reigns even when the bad happens, and I can rest in that. He knows my limits, and he loves me. He chose me before the foundation of the world. I am accepted in Christ. Christ will never be unaccepted by the Father, and neither will I. For my acceptance is wrapped up in the work of Christ. God compasses me about. That makes me pretty safe. God is my strength, so in him I can deal with whatever he sovereignly allows in my life. But all this understanding of doctrine had down-to-earth, practical fleshing out. Once I so lacked confidence that I couldn't handle normal household chores. Cleaning or washing or even hugging or reading to my children was too much. I knew I would do it wrong. I thought everybody hated me. I became physically ill whenever I was with people. For 9 months after I got saved, church was a mixed joy. I really wanted to go and hear the word, but all those people scared me to death. Anyway, as I learned who God really is and who I am in Christ, I found the confidence to do the things that frightened me. I have an ordered home. I enjoy sewing and do a good job at it. My gardening is a sacrifice I make to God, and I'm sure she means the word sacrifice there as an offering. I try to make every task a job done as unto the Lord. The kids I once couldn't hug or read to, I now homeschool. My 6-year-old and 4-year-old have both made professions of faith in Christ. What I'm saying is Jesus really gave me a new life and made me a new creature. I just thought you might like to know. Thank you so much. I won't give your name, but I'm so grateful for that letter and for all other letters that come telling me of the things that God has done for you, my listeners to Gateway to Joy. And I confess to you that there are times when I go to the mailbox, I come back with this huge stack of mail, and I say, Lord, it's impossible. I don't even have time to read all these, let alone answer them. And the Lord reminds me, this is the job that he has given to me to do, and he will enable me to do what he wants me to do. There are times when I feel maybe I should just end the program Gateway to Joy, and there may be some of you agreeing heartily with me on that. I do say many of the same things over and over again, don't I? Well, it's just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the same every time you read them. And the gospel is the gospel. And the principles that I try to present on this program are exactly the same, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But this letter that I've just read is a down-to-earth, very recent, very sincere, very open testimony to the great principle of the new life, death to the old life, the principle of exchange, which is beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, that's spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So many of you have written, giving me wonderful descriptions of the total change and turnaround in your lives, and I'm so thankful for that. And if it weren't for you who write and keep on encouraging us to keep on keeping on, I'm sure we wouldn't be able to do it. So, again, I do thank you for that, and I pray that those of you who have yet to discover that offering every experience of life to Jesus can be a gateway to joy may indeed, even today, begin to discover that wonderful truth. It will change your life.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.